Hello and welcome to Challenge Cup Matters, a podcast from the guys at loverugbyleague.com. My name's Dave Parkinson and I'm alongside my oppo, Adrian Jackson. Adrian, as always, great to have you with us.
I like the way you call me your oppo, by the way. I feel privileged to have such a title. Yeah, it's all about the Carnegie Challenge Cup. We're whipping them down, aren't we? Quarterfinal places up for grabs. And there were some interesting ties, even though there was some one-sided affairs as well.
There were that many one-sided affairs. Okay, two, three. Okay, I'll take that. That's okay. But let's have a flash through the results, and then we'll talk a little bit about the games. Bally Bulldogs 16, London Broncos 22, Catalan Dragons 68, Sheffield Eagles 6, Featherstone Rovers 16, Wigan Warriors 32, Huddersfield Giants 52, Swinton Lions 0, Lee Centurions 19, Halifax 18, Oldham 0, St Helens 76, Salford City Reds 10, Leeds Rhinos 16 and Warrington Wolves 32, Bradford Bulls 16.
An interesting one, I had everybody on the edge of the seat, was Featherstone versus Wigan Club Rovers repeat. That performance against Catterford time as well, unfortunately Wigan Warriors just had enough in the tank to overcome the challenge of Darrell Powell's men.
I think the whole fans were hoping for a Rovers return, weren't they, after beating Catterford in the last round. Certainly Wigan had the better of the start, O'Loughlin going over after just 4 minutes. But Featherstone Rovers hit back with two tries in 2 minutes, Saxton and Hardman going in. Sadly, they couldn't hold out because Goulding went over after 24 minutes and Gareth Hawk got the first of his two tries just before the break. And it was an undeserved half-time lead as far as I was concerned, Adrian.
Great effort from Featherstone Rovers, and they continued that in the second half. They had the Wigan Warriors rocking on the ropes like a boxer, but the Warriors stuck to the game plan and ground out the result.
Lulai, Chandler and Hawk going in, as he did in the first half, a try just before the end, just to make it that bit more convincing looking. Goals split between Chandler, he kicked 3 from 4, Sam Tompkins 1 from 2, and in response, Featherstone in that second half had a try from Gareth Rayner. It's good to see him finally back on a rugby league field after his well-documented troubles. Finn kicked 2 goals from 4 attempts. Another team hoping to avoid a championship scalp was London Broncos, and they successfully squeezed into the next round. O'Callaghan, Cook and Kafusi scored 3 tries in the opening 15 minutes, but Batley Bulldogs either made of stern stuff this season, aren't they? They had tries from Danny Moore and Applegarth, and at half-time, 12-16, anybody's game. Second half was really attritional. It was old-fashioned rugby league. It was in the forwards, it was up the jumper, it was on the floor when it was spilled in the wetness, and seeing some of the pictures from that game, it was like muddy marvels, wasn't it?
Conditions would have played the fact that in the way the game was played, and for that, you Craig Gower, there being a culture shock for him, wasn't it? And even though it wasn't an impressive performance against the Batley Bulldogs, it was a victory, wasn't it?
And ultimately, that's all you need in the Challenge Cup, isn't it? Randall scoring the only try of that second half, as far as London Broncos were concerned. Although Ian Priest went over for the Bulldogs, it was a bridge too far, really. 3 goals from Rodney, edging the 2 scored by Moore.
Yeah, the 2 teams from Greater Manchester, that's Swinton and Oldham, they were taking on Super League opposition, and unfortunately, both teams couldn't even muster a try, as they felt a heavy defeat.
Yeah, Huddersfield Giants, they were 34 points to the good in the first half against Swinton Lions. They extended that out to a 52 points to nil drubbing. Brough, Fayumu, Gilmore, Eden scoring 2, Chan, Griggs, Carding with 2, chipping in with the tries. Danny Brough also kicking 8 goals from 9 attempts. Nothing on the board for Swinton Lions. All.
Now, the game between Oldham and St Helens took place at Lantree Park. That was because the White Bank Stadium, the home of Oldham, was deemed not suitable to host a big Challenge Cup game, so it was switched. And I'll be honest with you, even though he did switch it to Lantree Park, I think it would have been the same scoreline, when St Helens playing a lot better in recent games.
Yeah, Lomax scoring 2 tries, kicking 10 goals from 14 attempts. Clough, McCarthy, Scarsbrook, Ciasoliola, Makinson and Wellens chipping in with tries, as did Shenton and McGuinness. Francis Melly, he scored a hat-trick of tries, and young Centre Jones also chipped in with 2 tries as well. Ultimately, they led 38 points to nil at half-time. St Helens went and completed a very professional job in the second half.
You mentioned Francis Melly getting a hat-trick. One other guy who got a hat-trick last weekend in the fifth round of the Carnegie Challenge Cup was Cardace for Catalan Dragons, as they brushed aside Sheffield Eagles.
I think he liked getting in the first team, doesn't he, for Catalan Dragons? Was it 4 tries that he scored a few weeks ago against Windace? It was 3 or 4 tries, anyway. We know know that much. And, you know, very, very pacey player. Sheffield, they didn't have a lot to muster, sadly. And Catalan Dragons, as well as that Kerr AC hat trick, Dupont, Price with two, Boss with two, Menzies, Pelissier grabbed two, Stackle, Horsell got one, with Giroud kicking 10 goals from 12 attempts. Now, Sheffield, they weren't totally disgraced. They had a try themselves from Finnegan, converted by Brown. But when they were losing 26 points to nil at half-time, it was always going to be a really tough ask, wasn't it?
Catalan Dragons are playing some great rugby league at the minute, Super League, and they're going to be a challenge for anyone on their home path. So the Eagles are always going to be up against it for them. It was always about damage limitation, like it was for all the clubs that were taking on Super League opposition. Now, one team from the Championship did make it through to the quarterfinal. That was Lee Centurions, having seen off Championship rivals Halifax via the golden point.
18-0 at full-time. And really, he argues that it could have been settled in normal time. But the scoring was opened by Thackeray. He went over after 25 minutes. Morinci followed him after 36 minutes. And Patterson scored the third Halifax try, which established a 16-6 advantage at half-time. Centurions, they scored a try through John Duffy. He's second in 2 weeks against Halifax. And then in the second half, they had tries from both starting second rowers, Tommy Goulden and James Lathwaite, who really does look a prospect. Martin Ridyard, he was the game winner. Not only did he convert three tries and help guide the Centurions around the field, particularly when John Duffy was forced off with injury, but he also came up with that golden point winner. Let's hear what Centurions boss Paul Rowley had to say about the game.
Yeah, it was a good cup tie, wasn't it? And they're a fantastic team, and we respect them dearly. And you know, two good sets of fans. All the ingredients were there. At the beginning of the game, we got some pressure, and it was a bit like deja vu, but on the other foot from last week's game, obviously against Halifax. So I thought, oh, I hope this ain't going to be a bad omen, because we couldn't cross the line. They defended resiliently, and they were very much a full team and a full unit, probably compared to last week. So. Definitely ebbs and flows within the game, and I just think, you know, at the end of it, we come through, we held the composure, we spoke about things we needed to do, and that we weren't bothered if we won it in the last minute, you know. And we give some penalties away today, so we was, you know, we did punish ourselves a little bit in that respect, because, you know, I think by half time we'd racked up our season's average per game just at half time, so that was concerning, something we needed to fix, and we did fix it. There were some small things that we needed to recognise and act upon them, and we did that. But you know, you can never change things drastically. You improve on what you're doing and perhaps be a little bit smarter. I was worried for 81 minutes and I needed toilet for 35 minutes, but yeah, it was. You know, it's. I've never been involved in a golden point, and we was very cool today. We know about being cool under pressure, and you know, Martin Ridyard, he showed a little bit of class. Well, a lot of class.
Two other games that involved all Super League affairs now, and there was Warrington versus Bradford and Salford City Reds versus Leeds Rhinos. And the Rhinos were expected to walk this one against the City Reds, but 16-10 suggests that wasn't the case.
Yeah, this tie over at the Salford City Stadium caught everybody out, really, because Leeds, when they're 4 or 5 weeks ago in the league, accounted for them by 52 points to 10 with an outstanding performance. But Salford, they've been slightly improved as of late, haven't they, in Super League? And although they haven't claimed too many victories since that particular time, they are a handy outfit, and certainly Phil Beavers has them playing some good attacking rugby league. Hewitt went over after 6 minutes to open the scoring for the Salford City Reds. Webb responded 2 minutes before half-time. And at the break, it was 6-6 and an interesting second half ensued.
All to play for, wasn't it? It was all a case of which team would come out and take the chances. It was Leeds who did enough on the day. Jones Bishop going over and the youngster Lunt getting the deciding try. That was after Broughton had given Salford City Reds the lead in that second half.
Sinfield kicking two of his three attempts on goal. And eventually, Leeds Rhinos just eking their way through to the quarterfinals. It was a bit more comfortable for the home side, Warrington, against Bradford Bulls.
I wouldn't say it was comfortable for Warrington Bulls. I thought Bradford Bulls asked lots of questions about the Warrington Bulls and really pushed them all the way in.
No, I think once they went in front, Warrington had the bit between the teeth, though, didn't they? That was just my opinion, anyway. It's great that we have these differences, isn't it? But Adrian Pertel opened the scoring after 12 minutes as far as Bradford Bulls were concerned. That was a lead that lasted 10 minutes when Joel Monaghan went over for the first of an eventual hat-trick. And it was two mistakes by Bryn Hargreaves, which really tipped the game in Warrington's favour just before the break.
Yeah, because it's his mistakes that led to two tries for Brett Hodgson right on the final at the half time. Who was it? It was Chris Riley. I'm not too sure what he was thinking about Bryn Hargreaves. It's my pet. He brought forward trying to be ball handlers, and he tried to offload it in a silly situation where all he had to do was hold the ball and let the Hoosier go for half time. But he decided to try and pass it to keep the move moving forward. He made the right hash of it, and Riley picked the loose ball up and touched down. Gareth Carvell might say in this interview coming up in a minute that they weren't really too concerned about the scoreboard at half time, but they'd have been relieved to have been so far in front at the half time break.
For 35 minutes of that first half, Bradford were the better side, but in the second half they got a really good start, did Warrington. Tries from Joel Monaghan and Ryan Atkins, really, they put them on the front foot. That made it 22 points to 6. Although we saw a bit of a late flurry of points with Lulia going over for a great try just before the hour, and Olivia Alima going over 4 minutes from the end. It was all settled by Monaghan going in for his hat-trick try, and Warrington, I thought, at the end of it, deserved going through to the next round of the Cup.
One guy that made a big impact was Gareth Carvell. Gareth Carvell, the mission for Warrington was to win today, and that was the mission accomplished.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we got it right there. We came to win our own ground, so we didn't want to give anything away. Bradford, very spirited, I think. I think the mentality they had there, sort of playing for their jobs, could have been a decent one. It's been fun to progress in the Challenge Cup, and we were fully aware of that. So it was an even tougher game.
What do you think the difference was between the first half performance and the second half?
I don't know. I think we're still guilty of giving away early penalties and giving away field position, but I think once we settled down into that routine and got into a bit of an arm wrestle and respected the ball a little bit more, the tries came. I think in the past we've been guilty of trying to score on every single set of six, whereas last year we sort of dug in, laid the platform and carried on. So I think we're getting a little bit back to that. It's one of those games that probably wasn't the best to watch, but we were glad with the result.
This is in front of half time. Did the boys feel you deserve it, or did you think you were fortunate to be in front of half time?
I don't think we were too concerned about the score at that point. We still had a few issues to sort of address, and I think we were one of those games where if we concentrate on ourselves, we'll come through the other end, and I think that's what we did.
You got on the front foot, scored some decent tries, and Joe Monaghan comes up with a hat trick.
Yeah, that's right. I think a couple of times they got caught, though. I don't know what the outside backs have been doing in training, but I think we need a bit more speed work. Joel can score a try. He's a fantastic player, and hopefully there'll be a few more of those for him to come.
You've been kicking against the last two games, so welcome return to action for yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Suspended for two games. I've not been happy with my form previously. I've been struggling a little bit with an injury, so I've just decided to clear that from my mind and just get on with it. So stop being soft and just get on with it. I'm glad to be back, and hopefully my season will start here as well as all of ours.
So you've been packed in the middle of that field. How was it out there?
It was tough. They had a big pack of Bradford, and they ran pretty hard. They had some clever hookers there as well, so it was. It was difficult. It kept us on our toes, and I thought it was a good battle, but we just got the victory in the end.
Lots have been made about some of the performances in recent weeks. Was that an improvement on what we've seen in the league game?
Yeah, I suppose, but there's still a lot to go. We're not satisfied with how we're playing, to be honest, and it's one of those things that if we improve week on week, we'll get to where we want to be, and we seem to be doing that. So I think we'll get there.
What's the final stage? Is he excited to be there now?
It's definitely a Challenge Cup. I hold it in very high esteem, so it's one of the favourite favourite cups that I enjoy, and it's a massive occasion. So it'd be great to get to the final again, but we're not counting our chickens. There's a league to come, and a big game against Salford coming up.
It's a big game against Salford, and that'll maintain the winning sequence should you get the win.
Yeah, should we get the win, we've just got to concentrate on what we do and concentrate on improving week on week, and hopefully we'll get the win. It'll be no easy task for sure.
So that was round five done and dusted. It set up what was an intriguing quarter-final draw. Now, this took place on 5-5 on Tuesday morning.
You mentioned the fact it was done at early doors on Tuesday, 8:30. I was still in bed. Some interesting ties stuck out, and most notably, St. Helens versus Wigan at the DW Stadium. That was going to be an interesting one. Huddersfield versus London Broncos, you'd expect the Giants to be too good for the Broncos. Leeds Insurance were their reward. They got the World Champions. They got Leeds Rhinos on the weekend and made the 12th and 13th.
Let's hear from Paul Rowley. This was his reaction, the league coach, as his side was drawn out of the hat.
Well, it's like if you went down to Accrington and Stanley and said you can pick any club, any team to play at your own ground, they'd pick Brazil. So we've got the world champions coming to Leeds. So we've got to take this opportunity with both hands as a club and as a town. I think the club's got a responsibility to get us forward and in the public eye. And then I also think the town and people and businesses of Leeds need to come out in force and mark the occasion. You know, it's a special occasion. Like I say, world champions are in town. Our part-time lads who graft day in, day out, and then come to train have earned a shot and earned a day on the big stage. So, we need to support it well and do the lads justice by turning up. And supporting in numbers and making a noise.
Barnet, it's Warrington away against Catalan Dragons. Now, for me, that's the draw no one wanted.
No, Catalan Dragons playing some brilliant stuff at home. They're running in points galore at the moment, aren't they? What do you make of all four ties being televised? I think that's really good for the game, to be honest. Let's bring everyone up to speed with what happened in Championship 1. There was one game that took place. Rochdale Hornets at home against Doncaster. And Doncaster continuing their excellent start to the season. They came up with their fifth win. It took them top of the league, 38 points to 6. Comprehensive, really, that.
I think that's a bit of a worry for John Stankovic. He's Rochdale, isn't it? The manner of the defeat would be a main worry for him. He'd been expecting to have at least got a bonus point since we weren't going to play them all three against Doncaster, and unfortunately they were undone by a very powerful Doncaster team that were inspired by Paul Cook, who's having a great season back in rugby league.
And Lee Waterman as well, he's a player that we've picked out on these very podcasts. He certainly knows where that try line is. He tends to keep pulling his wing to Hodgson away, and although Hodgson's taking over the kicking now, so he's still registering his points, Waterman came up with two tries, crucial in the final outcome. Let's continue with Championship 1, shall we? Because there's a rematch. Doncaster this week host Rochdale Hornets. So, again, if John Stankovic is going to turn it round, he's going to get the first opportunity to do so, isn't he?
Doncaster will be confident they're making it a double for Rochdale. I suppose a mission for them is instant revenge.
Well, the game's taking place in Championship 1. Oldham host North Wales Crusaders. South Wales Scorpions, they are at home to Barrow Raiders. London Scholars make the trip up to Cumbria to face Whitehaven and Workington Town. They're at home to Gateshead Thunder. The Championship, it's Dewsbury Rams taking on Keighley Cougars. Featherston Rovers at home to Halifax, my pick of the round actually. Hunslet Hawks against Batley Bulldogs. Sheffield Eagles at home to Lee Centurions. And the televised game is between Swinton Lions and York City Knights. Note this one takes place on Sunday afternoon, 12 o'clock kickoff.
I know you're saying the pick against for you is Featherston versus Halifax, but mine is Sheffield Eagles versus Lee Centurions.
That leads us on to Super League. And here are the Super League fixtures for round 13. We're nearly halfway there, Adrian. St Helens take on Wakefield Trinity Wildcats and Wigan Warriors host Hull Kingston Rovers on Friday night. Saturday sees Catalan Dragons at home to Huddersfield Giants and Hull host Leeds Rhinos. Sunday sees Bradford Bulls and London Broncos playing the strange surroundings of Leighton Orient's ground at Brisbane Road, while Warrington are at home to their bogey side in some respects, Salford City Reds. On Monday, an extra one for the TV. Note this one, Castleford Tigers against Widnes Vikings.